Truth Wins team. Whoa, look at that strange title.
Yeah.
Sagacity.
Sagacity.
Whoa, wonder what that is. But before we get into our lesson, we'll say a prayer.
Thank you, Father, for this day of the day the Lord hath made. Glory to God in the highest, for his mercy endureth forever. We thank you, Father, that we walk as kings in life by Christ Jesus, because we are full of sagacity in our lives. We walk true to the word of God, and by having great ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit by the blessing of the Lord and his gifts that we receive in Jesus' name. We all said amen.
Amen. Well, one of the things I started, it's a new year, and I'm in a group, and they said, pick a word for your year, and I picked sagacity. But we'll learn what that is. But part of why it was is the question was, AI is good and you can use it as a tool, but what won't you let AI do in your life? And I put, I won't let AI read the Bible for me and determine what the Bible says. And that would be using sagacity. So let's see what sagacity means.
Sagacity means the quality of being deeply wise in showing sound judgment, especially in complex or difficult situations. It is the trait that makes a person a sage, someone whose insight, discernment, and foresight help others see what is right and prudent. In other words, sagacity is the kind of mature, penetrating wisdom associated with revered elders or spiritual teachers who can distinguish subtle differences or subtle differences between wise and foolish choices.
Right. So it was kind of interesting how all this came together. So I picked my word sagacity, which meant I wouldn't be using AI to read the Bible for me. I would let the Holy Spirit tell me what he wanted us to learn for our lesson today. So he said, start off with James. And I thought, well, okay, we'll go. We don't know where we're going to go through all this study this year, but we do know we're going to be wise as sages as we go. So what can we learn from James that we can use today and for the rest of 2026 to make wise decisions?
This is in James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The joy of the Lord is a profound spiritual reality rooted in a believer's relationship with God, characterized as a gladness of heart that comes from knowing Christ, abiding in him, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. This joy is not dependent on external circumstances, unlike fleeting happiness, but is a lasting inner strength available to those who trust in God's eternal goodness.
Right, so here we're learning that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We've learned that from the Bible. The joy we have is not in the joy of the trial. The joy that we have is knowing that God is on our side. What God has promised us is true. And so what are we going to do to know, like, what we're supposed to know? So if we're going to have sagacity, what is it we need to do so that we can have the joy of the Lord? So James tells us what we should do.
James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Right. So let's look at what's happening today. We can compare it to some things that happened in the Bible. We often get a lot of bad news in the news, and we also often have the majority saying this is what we should do. But we can look at our Bible and realize what God had planned and how God's plans come to fruition and how he works it out. He set it up and we follow what he says and it'll be good. So if we go
around, I have a testimony.
So if we go around saying sagacity, we're using sagacity this year, we'll keep doing it. It's interesting because we talk a lot on quantum. The quantum's really the spiritual realm. We know that Abraham, to get where Abraham needed to go, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham so that he would become the father of many nations. What you may not know is he used this technique with another mighty man of God. And so we're going to go to Numbers and learn about what happened. This is the time when Moses is having, he's selected 12 spies to go out and see the land, the promised land, and what they're going to do. So you said you had a testimony you wanted to give.
I remember when I was about 20 years old and I was reading the Bible in my little room when I was living with my parents, and I was probably going to college and all that, but I was taking a moment of reading James. I thought, oh, James is a good one. So I was reading and I read that verse, and it says that God would give us wisdom liberally. He would give us the wisdom of God liberally without reproach, without any pushback. And I go, well, Lord, I said the prayer of faith. I said, Lord, I receive that in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, that has been a great that my testimony, my life was my rudder. God was in my rudder all the time, all my life. I've very seldom made the wrong decisions without listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I say, everybody, the body of Christ needs to know that scripture and pray the prayer of faith that God give me wisdom.
Right, so we'll look and see what happens. So as I said before, Moses is calling together the 12 spies to go out and see the land. And as he's doing it, he's naming them all, but he does something very interesting to one of the spies he names.
It says in Numbers 13:16, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Hosea is to save. Joshua, Yahweh is salvation, or God is deliverance.
Right, and that's sort of an interesting thing. Originally, his name was Deliverance, really, Hosea, and then it became Joshua, which Joshua really, in essence, is the name Jesus.
Well, I didn't know until we did this program that God changed Joshua's name.
Right, to really meaning what Jesus is. Jesus, but it's God's the Savior. So it goes from Joshua himself having to save the people to knowing that God will save the people.
Amen.
And that's an important thing. So we need to see what we're saying, what we name our children, what we're called, the impact, because of we know words have power, because God says, what I hear you say, I'll do. And it says in the one, I can't remember the verse, but it is like, believe in your heart, but then you saith.
Oh, that's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
No, I'm saying, so that's not the
say,
one.
Saith, that's Mark 11:23.
Yeah, Mark 11:23, that you
or
say.
Or 24,
it.
Really.
Right, because what we say is, we know with the quantum, everything's made of a sound wave, so as we say it, It causes an occurrence.
God created the heavens, earth with his voice. He didn't create it out of some machine or something like that. He created it out of the machine, our voice, and he gave us. We're made in the God kind, so we have that ability too. And he's training us as we're here on earth to do what he does. We are the body of Christ. We walk as kings because he says we are kings, as he is a king.
Right, so we're going to look at this. So we're taking AI. We're kind of doing this thing, why we wouldn't use AI. Well, AI can't listen to the Holy Spirit. AI only can do what's programmed into it. So it's not the tool to get sagacity from. You really can't get sagacity from it. Like if you
get information.
You can get information, but it's kind of flat information. Like if you ask it, what does coffee smell like? And it can give you someone's opinion, but it doesn't necessarily give you truth. It doesn't really have a way to evaluate all this thing. It just does with the physical information it has. It doesn't use spiritual information. It uses physical, worldly information for itself. So let's see what happens. We have a group of people. Moses has put together the 12 people. They're the heads of each tribe, so they're probably considered wise leaders of the tribe, because usually when you're a leader, your tribe's thinking you'd be a good leader. So he's got them together, and he sends them out to the promised land, and let's see what happens with this. Right, so here we see really Joshua and Caleb are grounded in God. By this time, Moses has written the Torah. They have the Ten Commandments. Joshua's the great man who said, "Don't let the word of God depart before your eyes." So they're grounded in it. His name says God's going to save you. So when they went out, although what they saw was the same as the other 10 spies, they saw it through the window of spiritual eyes. Now let's see what the people who are just basically doing it. It's kind of like Newtonian law, where everything is just what you see is what happens, versus quantum, when the God particle's there, what happens.
Spiritual law.
So let's see what happens with these people, that the other 10 that go to the same place, have been told by God, you're going to the promised land. What do they come up with?
It says in Numbers 13:31-33, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight."
Well, for one thing, we don't really see anything where they're saying that the giant said anything to them. We don't even see them encountering it, so they kind of stretched it there. But their fear came because they're looking not to God, which is...
They're having the unbelief.
Right, they're not doing like what Joshua's name says. God will be your salvation, your savior. And so that's why Caleb and Joshua could give a good report. So we go back to the beginning of our lesson to see how all this ties together. We need to have sagacity.
Sagacity.
And so when we read the verse in James, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into trials." Why were you counting it all joy? Well, the joy is, you know...
It's a spiritual force.
Right. The joy is the promise of God, you know, is true. So Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "Whoa, let's go do this. We can do it."
Yeah, they were thinking...
Today's the day.
We're the leaders. We're given position by God. He said to go take the land. We're not rebutting with God.
Right. So that's where your joy comes in, knowing the promises of God. And how do you know the promises of God? Sagacity. You study the word, and then you use tools like maybe Strong's Concordance to define words. Like, what is joy? Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness seems to be more related to the world. So what's happening in the world? If it's good, you're happy. If it's bad, you're not.
Yeah, where joy... It flies away quickly.
But where joy is, you're always joyous. The joy of the Lord is your strength, because you know he'll do the right thing with you. So we have sagacity. How do we get sagacity too? We read our Bible. We speak in tongues. We ask for interpretation so we know what we
continue.
Should be doing.
Don't let the word of God depart from your eyes, for it is life, it is health and healing to all your flesh. And your life will be, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his word, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Right. So we know that that's really what Joshua and Caleb did. They stood on God's word and knew good things were happening, which is what we're going to do this year. And they also didn't listen to the majority.
They said, the prophets, the Joshua and Caleb said, whose report do you believe? No, you believe God or you believe the what you see?
Well, I like what goes on, which we're not going to read all of. You can go to Numbers 13 and read the whole account of Joshua and Caleb being sent out. But after the people get up and say, we can't do it, then the whole nation, really, because the only people that got to go in were Joshua and Caleb because they didn't whine. Then the nation, which would be the majority, said, we would be better off if you just left up in Egypt. Would they have been better off? No. They get whiny, complainy, grumpy, and what happens to them? They never get the promised land.
They never got to the promised land. After 40 years, they wandered around like 20 miles from the promised land. They roamed around for 40 years, and they all died.
Right. So it shows you are going to do, like it says, count it all joy when you have a trial, knowing that you just need patience. Let patience have its perfect work. It does, like it says, you go through the valley of shadow of death. It doesn't say you abide in the shadow of death. You go through it.
Right.
You go through your trial knowing you find a verse in the Bible. You pray in tongues. You pray and you ask God, what is the answer to this trial so that you have patience to let it have its perfect work?
And
that
she was
God
quoting 23rd Psalm 5th verse, I believe it. Yes, we go walk through the valley shadow of death. We fear no evil, for thou art with us, Lord.
Right. So
thy rod and thy staff, thy word and thy spirit, they comfort us.
Right. So right now we're going to go ask God. So we go, Father, we come to you. We ask you to give us wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that you'll guide us through this whole year. We'll have sagacity. We won't listen to AIs telling us what the crowd wants. We're going to just hear what God wants, and he's going to take us to the perfect spot.
Yeah, we stay in the spirit realm.
Right, so that's where we are today with just having a really quick thing, because that way you can think on it. So you're going to think, well, whatever trial you may be having, you're having joy because you know God has the answer. You've asked him for wisdom in Jesus' name, and you say, thank you, Father, for the wisdom I've got, and he'll direct you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
And 2026
James,
will be an amazing revelation year, and you'll end up in your promised
and
land.
And you can do as Abraham. He called those things that be not as though they were. He called the future into the present.
Right.
Truth wins.
Right, so you'll end up in your promised land this year. God has a perfect promised land for every single person here today. We love you. We say like and subscribe. Tell your friends. Post comments.
We love you.
Post comments. Ask questions. You can contact us at prayer@truthwins.com. We'll pray for you. And we'll see you next week.